exercise. Our final interview today. For many people, of course, it's hardwired into their lives. For many more, possibly, it's not. And obeying the World Health Organization guidelines of between 150 and 300 minutes per week sounds like a tall order for some. An even taller order is the 75 to 150 minutes of vigorous exercise recommended. And that's not to say these aren't good guidelines. It's merely to observe that many people can't see themselves adhering to them. So if that's you, then this is the interview for you. Professor Scott Lear is the Heart and Stroke Foundation Chair in Cardiovascular Prevention Research at the Simon Fraser University in British Columbia. It's a big uni with campuses across Canada. Hello, Scott.
Hi, Jim.
The eye-catching, ear-catching statement from you, first of all, even the first minute you exercise improves your health. I'm not saying just do 1 minute, and you're not saying that either, but any start will benefit us?
Yes, exactly. It's that first step, that first few steps from getting up from the chair, getting off the couch, getting up from the bed, that provide the greatest benefit. And of course, if you're doing more of these steps or more minutes of activity, that's going to give you even greater benefits. But it's trying to dispel that notion that we have to do large chunks of activity or exercise in order to get improvements in fitness and health.
And people hear conflicting advice on what constitutes a healthy minimum period of physical activity. And your conclusion here, Scott, from the work of your research group is what?
What we're used to thinking of, if we hear the term exercise, and definitely in my generation, it was put into our heads that, you know, you had to go to a gym, you had to go for a run, 20, 30 minutes, get sweating, get your heart rate up, get into a certain target range for your heart rate. And it gave that impression that if you didn't do that, you weren't getting any benefits, any health or fitness benefits. But that's all that activity, that's great. And I do that type of activity. But it's any type of movement that we do with our body is good movement. And you know, we can call things like going to the gym exercise, but activities such as gardening, raking leaves, or like we are doing in some parts of Canada right now, shoveling snow, is activity that can give you just as much benefits as what we might stereotypically call exercise. Basically, our body doesn't matter what we call it. We could be commuting to work by walking. We could be doing household chores or active at work. And we can get those same benefits as maybe going for a brisk walk or a jog down the block.
And there's the phrase exercise snacking, which I know is not yours, but that kind of applies to what you're talking about. You've studied inactive adults, haven't you?
Yeah, and so this term exercise snacking was kind of an ingenious term to get people to understand that little bouts of exercise. And this one research group looked at getting people just to go spend 20 seconds going upstairs. You still need to do it a bit moderate or vigorous, but it's short term. So, you know, you could be sitting at your desk like I am, and then, you know, I'll get up and do maybe like 20 seconds of squats or some push-ups or jogging in place, or maybe just I'm at my home, maybe just go outside and walk around in the yard for a few times and come back. And that's beneficial too. And it fits really well for people who will say, I don't have time to do 20 or 30 minutes or get my gear together to go to the gym or the community center. I mean, you can do it right where you are.
Yeah. If you disappear for 20 seconds, we'll understand what you're doing. The effects you saw were quite emphatic too. This is the thing. You've looked at this. And I think an example is bike sprints.
That kind of is a evolution of what has been a really popular fitness trend in the last 3 to 5 years called high intensity interval training. A popular fitness trend from the past 3 to 5 years. And the group that looked at the bike sprints took this, and instead of doing these like intervals and then having maybe 2 or 3 minutes rest and doing these another interval and repeating that 4 or 5 times, they looked at this notion of exercise snack that you do the bike sprint and then you just go back to, you know, your daily, your routine of 2 to 3 hours and then do another bike sprint. And that, over the course of a period of doing that throughout the day a few times, had about the same effect on improvements in fitness as doing it in one bout altogether. And again, this is all being looked at to try and impress upon people that getting out and moving is what's important, and you don't need a lot of time to do it.
So short bursts of exercise can give you an energy boost, improve your productivity. I was reading too, we just need to do it. We just need to build this into our routines. And you're saying you can build it in far more easily than we've hitherto thought.
Yes, a lot of people will say they don't have enough time to be active. And little things like setting up your phone to go off an alarm, or if you're wearing a wearable device, some of them will give you a little shock or shake themselves. If you've been inactive for a while, you can get apps for your computer that shut down and you can go do your activity then. It's accessible to people and beneficial. And you know, if you're only doing it for 1 or 2 minutes, you don't need to change your gear. You're not, even if you get your heart rate up, you're not going to be sweating. It would be more of like getting your heart rate or getting your breathing. Like if you go up, even if I go up a flight of stairs, you know, I can feel my breathing starting to go a bit faster, my heart rate to go. I'm not sweating, but that's the type of activity within these exercise snacks that we're looking for people to do.
Okay. One thing that I think discourages people is when they've been pretty good for a week or two and then something happens that makes exercising harder, you know, issues at home, issues at work, whatever they are, and then guilt sets in because it's been 3 or 4 days without exercise and maybe we broke out the chocolate bars to console ourselves, which is just human nature at work. It's not, you know, a failure of being a person. But what you are finding is a remedy for all of that. You know, if major exercise or substantial exercise is interrupted, you can still do all sorts of little bits and pieces.
Yeah, exactly. Life happens and we need to be able to expect that and also to not be so hard on ourselves, like you mentioned, feeling guilty. And sometimes maybe the plan in the morning was to go for a 40-minute bike ride, but for whatever reason, something happened. But going out for, you know, 5-10 minute walk is still an achievement. If you miss one session, it's not going to set you back in terms of health or fitness. So the next day, just get up and work on your activity that day.
Yeah, exactly. And if you get the hang of this new way of life, because sometimes, you know, exercise makes you want to exercise more. I noticed there's the Royal Canadian Air Force 11-minute workout plan. It needs no gear.
When I was looking at some of the research in this area and came across that, and it's a simple routine of calisthenics like jumping jacks, walking on place, burpees. There's some sit-ups there, some push-ups there. You know, there's a lot of activities we can do using our own body weight and movement to be active.
Nice to talk to you, and thank you very much, Professor Scott Lear, for your time as well.
Thanks a lot, Jim. It's been my pleasure.
By the way, Scott has a website, drscottlear.com, with all sorts of health advice that doesn't try to sell you anything, if you want to have a look at that.